tonight, we'll have a message on praying for America, and I wanted to give us a few encouraging thoughts to pray this morning. My text verse is verse number 19 there, and I'll read it to you. For the people shall dwell in Zion, at Jerusalem thou shalt weep no more. And then I love these words, and this is what I'll be referring to this morning. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And so you're going to have to listen on purpose this morning. And if you'll listen to me, I know that this will encourage you and help you, but I will need your attention. The sin of mankind is his independence from God. Our sin nature always says, no, God. Every time a Christian runs to the world, it's not just for sinful pleasures, but it's also an attempt to leave God's presence. Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord, and Adam and Eve fled from the presence of the Lord. And many times it's just our nature, it's our sin nature. You would think that in our day of tragedy and trouble, when problems hit, we would turn to the Lord like Hosea said, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. That's God talking about us. If they, when they come to a hard time, they're going to look up and they're going to come to me. But that's not the way most people respond. Far too often, most people follow the example of Ahaz in the Bible. In 2 Corinthians chapter 28, it says, and in the time of his distress did he trespass yet more against the Lord. This is King Ahaz. This is that King Ahaz. You would think our struggles and our heartaches and pains would make us look up to the Lord. But in most cases, not in all, but in most cases it makes men speed along and go faster into rebellion, despair, and then their heart gets harder and harder. Man seems to look in any direction but God. If I just used the Paris killings, where are the people that are saying that type of carnage and mass murder? Yes, I know it was done by a demonic group of people, but where's the people that are looking up and saying, dear God, have mercy on us. And Lord, where have we wronged you? And wherever, where's that? You don't hear people talking about that. Man seems to look in any direction but God's. Like Saul in the Old Testament, he'd rather look to a witch or a psychic or a modern day crystal ball or horoscope than seek the living God. Man would rather make a league with death and a covenant with hell than turn his heart toward his Creator, his Helper, and his Friend. God says in Isaiah chapter 31, woe unto them that go down to Egypt for help. Woe to them that go to the world for help. And stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many. And in horsemen because they're very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. God tells us in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 4, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. What a verse. My trust should not be in anybody in this room. And maketh flesh his arm. My trust cannot be in man. You see, God says we sin when we go our way and we don't do it God's way. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Sin isn't necessarily doing what the devil wants you to do. And for most of us, the devil leaves most of us alone. Sin is when we do what we want to do. When we do it our way. And Satan doesn't really care what you do as long as you don't do what God wants you to do. You understand? As a matter of fact, Satan gives you an open check and says you can do anything except what God wants you to do. You got a whole lot of options there. All right? But still, what we trust in, fails us like God says. In our
book of the Bible. You stay there in Isaiah 30, but 36 says, Isaiah 36 says, "Lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed on Egypt, whereof if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it." God says, you can trust in anything you want, but it's going to pierce you. It's just like a staff. When you put weight on it, this is the illustration. He said, you want to trust your money? One day, it's going to break and it's going to stab your hand. You ever seen that happen? You want to trust your job? One day, it's going to break and it's going to pierce your hand. Ah, what the, ow. You ever see somebody do that? I've seen that. It happened to me one time. And I remember the illustration, and God says, whatever you're trusting in other than me, it's going to break. And God says, I have ways of knocking the pillars out from underneath you so that when it's all clear, you'll see I'm the only one you can put your trust in. God has ways of reminding all of us. You see, our after failure, after we fail, even after that, we still won't trust the only one who will never disappoint us. After failure, a man says in pride, like Jerusalem did. In Isaiah chapter 9, it says, all the people shall know, even Ephraim, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with the hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. After judgment, Israel said to God, we'll build again. And God says, I destroyed the city because of your sin against me. We'll build again. The mayor of New York said that after 9/11. That was the text he read. We'll build again. Instead of, dear God, we've sinned. You see the pride? We always say we come to failure and we end up making these statements. It's been around a long time. Hold on, I'm still introducing things, but listen. When man is deceived by sin, he still persists. When sin costs him dearly, he still continues in it. The world has used him up, and those whom he thought were his friends have forsaken him, yet man still seeks the companionships of those who have forsaken him time and time again. As I visited in a nursing home one time, and of course I've been to the hospital, I thought it was so sad to watch the man in the wheelchair, and he's had the hole, the tracheotomy there, and he's got the throat cancer, and he's still inhaling a cigarette, and it's killing him. It's killing him. So sad. So sad. You would think after going through that much pain, you understand? Wow, I need to give these up. You know what I mean? But you don't see that. You don't see that. You see that with other things. Man worries, stresses, schemes, but he seeks in the Creator for, listen, that which can only be found in the Creator. He seeks to hear any new thing. It says in Acts 17, it says, the Athenians and the strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but to either tell or hear some new thing. Tell us something new. Tell us something we haven't heard before. That's not the object of church. The object of church is for me to preach the old book and to tell you something that always has been. You may not have seen it in that light, but I'm not supposed to preach something new. I'm not supposed to tickle your ears or entertain you. The object of church is for us to see the Word of God as it always has been. You see, he still won't turn to the Word of God to hear God's voice. Like the prodigal son, he keeps filling his belly with the husks and that the swine ate until finally he comes to himself when the grace of God touches his heart. Why would you perish with hunger when you could instead, listen, confess your sin against heaven and begin to live by faith in God? I'm starting this morning the sermon to show you the fruit of our destruction and evidence of our sinful nature. I'm so thankful that every person's here this morning in church. I'm so thankful. This is America. You can do anything you want. And most do. As a matter of fact, I don't know anybody that doesn't do what they want to do. And I'm so thankful for everyone that is in church this morning. But God does say about our sinful nature, the carnal mind or the fleshly mind is enmity against God. That's Romans chapter 8. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Oh, I wish we could say in our hearts what Hosea 6:1 says, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. Did you know the whole time you ignore and struggle to get away from God, the Lord's always willing to receive and forgive and bless and give joy? I'm so glad. The unwillingness to come to God is never not on God's part. It's always on man's part. We're the ones who aren't willing. God has given us so many promises, has begged man to return so much in the Word of God, that it's only a hard heart and an ungratefulness that keeps man from coming back to God. Let me just read to you. Psalm 147 says, He healeth the broken heart and bindeth up their wounds. If you have your Bible and it's there, open at Isaiah. Can I just show you the last part of verse 19? He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. What a text. What a verse. He will be... I love that. This is comforting to this morning to everybody who's hurting. That's a comforting verse. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry, the moment you speak. And when he shall hear it, he will answer thee. This is comforting to those that are depressed. This is comforting this morning to those who are sick. This is comforting to those who are struggling financially. This is comforting to everyone who is afflicted or dealing with long-term illness. This is comforting to those who are burdened this morning, to anyone who's hurting. I understand why you're under the pain, while you're under the pressure. I understand the temptation is to blame God for your troubles. But if you notice, that only makes things worse and increases sin. And it also increases our sorrow. You can be tempted to say in the struggle, there's no hope. Then you'll find under the pressure, as you get under the strain and you're going through the grind of the week, you find also Satan offers you more sin and more impurity as a way of relief. And he starts saying, you know, you've been through a lot this week. And then he says this, you deserve to sin. Doesn't he? You've suffered a lot, haven't you? You deserve to do wrong. Go ahead. You're not that bad. And instead, it's just like the truck driver. When he got out of his truck, he was new and he was a young truck driver. And you remember when the old smokestacks used to go right by the back door? And right when he touched that, it was almost glowing red. He touched that smokestack and it seared his nerves. He couldn't even feel the damage that was happening. And the pain and the burning, it started, he hurt himself real bad, but his body numbed it. And Satan gives you like this Novocaine of sin as you spiral downward and as you keep going down. Isaiah, Satan compounds your pain with his offers of more sin and more impurity. But I love that verse, Isaiah 30:19. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. The Lord this morning, I'm so glad, is very gracious. God does answer prayer. God, there is help in the Lord. God's infinite wisdom understands this morning what you're going through. And listen, child of God, God can remove it, your burden, or give you grace to bear it. He'll do one of two things. Sometimes he doesn't remove the pain. Sometimes the person who is sick, who the caregiver is taking care of, sometimes they don't get better. But God gives you the grace while you're in the hurt and in the pain to deal with it. He can do one of two things. He can either remove the burden this morning or he can give you grace. And I love this. God is the only one who can make whatever you're going through this morning and your frustration turn to good. He's the only one. Doesn't it say that? Romans 8:28? All right. By yielding yourself to God and by trusting Him, you then obtain His deliverance. You do not obtain His deliverance by fighting Him. Why? Because you're there in Isaiah 30, verse 19. Would you look at verse number 15? Watch this. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel. Watch. In returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Now here it says Israel wouldn't, but that promise is still true. If you will return to God and not fight him, God says, I can give you rest and assurance and strength. That is the way to it. This verse this morning is comforting to those who are afflicted and burdened, but this is also very comforting to those who are struggling because of their own sin this morning. Listen closely. When a life of sin and rebellion starts to catch up with you, those people have many times a sense of overwhelming guilt and fear of punishment. God has given you grace so you can now repent. Repent means to change your mind. It doesn't mean to turn from sin. It means change your mind. God can give you grace to repent. You could stop being overwhelmed by your guilt if you'll just look to the Lord Jesus Christ. God is an accepting, forgiving, receiving mood if you'll just humble yourself. There are no tasks. Aren't you glad? There's no hoops to jump through. There's no task to perform. And there's no money to give to get God's acceptance and His forgiveness. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? There's only one thing that is necessary, and that's a condition of the heart. Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifices of God are what? A broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Our text this morning, Isaiah 30, verse 19, it says, He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When He shall hear it, He will answer thee. This morning, this verse is also comforting to anybody who's backslidden. You say, I never backslide. I've never known a Christian not to backslide. If you've been saved any length of time, every Christian backslides. I know what it's like to lead people to Christ in the flesh. I know what it's like to go to church backslidden. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to do big days where we've invited a lot of people. I know what it's like to do those in the flesh. I know what it's like to be backslidden. I know what it's like to... What's backslide mean? It means to face the Lord, but while you're doing it, you're sliding backwards and the distance is getting greater and greater. What does backsliding mean? It means those things that you've found yourself playing with, you can't believe that now they're actually a major part of your life. You thought you'd never be here. You have nothing against God, but you know you're not where you should be. This verse is very encouraging to anybody, any Christian that's backslidden. The Bible does say in Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. Someone who backslides sins against the light and the love of the Lord. A backslider knows the peace of God because he used to be close to the Lord. God used to teach him out of His Word. And he used to experience the joy and fellowship of the Lord. A backslider is one who leaves the cool flowing waters from which come only from the rock of ages to drink pools of mud. A backslider faces God, but he has been closer. Someone who's backslidden, they dishonor God among unbelievers. I'll never forget it. I was in a church in New Jersey. And I was trying to win this couple to the Lord, this college-age students. Two of them came to church, and it was the invitation time. And I walked up to them, and I said, I'm so glad you came tonight. And it was a Sunday night service. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. I said, do you know where you're going to spend eternity when you die, heaven or hell? Both of them said, no, I don't know where I'm going to go. I said, could I show you? I just knew. If you come to church, amen, and you're in church, and wow, you sing the songs of Zion, I just knew it's going to... Well, here, let me show you. They said, oh, no, no, no. You see that person over there? He's taking us to nightclubs, and he's taking us drinking, and he's... I couldn't win those two people if you'd have paid them money because of a backslidden Christian. They had seen somebody live. He's taken us to bars. He's taken us to nightclubs. He fornicates. All that. No. And I couldn't win. I walked away that night. I went back to my office and I was so grieved. You know what a backslidden Christian will cost? A backslidden Christian can influence people to not get saved. Because of their testimony. And you say, well, you're a preacher. You should be able to. I'll say it again. I couldn't pay him to get saved. A backslidden Christian, A backslidden Christian dishonors God among unbelievers. Someone who used to be close to the Lord, but has backslidden, is also the shame and sorrow of many pastors. If it continues, I'm so glad. I know what it's like to backslide this morning. I'm not talking to you as if I've not done that, but I'm so glad God gave His grace and touched my heart. And I remember. I know what it's like as an assistant pastor to be backslidden. My preacher was preaching, and I sat on the platform, and I remember, and God was beating me up. He had my number, and I just started weeping. And God was dealing with me. And God gave me what? Grace to get back. Amen? He was calling me back as His child, just like He does all of us. This text rings a beautiful note of grace. He will be very gracious unto thee. To anybody who's ever gone astray from the Lord, Jeremiah 3:12 says, "Return, thou backsliding Israel, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever." Hosea chapter 14, verse 1 says, "Return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity." Isaiah 30, 19, "He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry." This verse is also this morning very encouraging to anybody who's saved and walking with the Lord. To the seasoned Christian this morning, there are times when our faith is tried and we struggle as our heart grieves. We are committed that we're not going to quit. Yet we feel our rubber band stretched to the point where we feel like it's going to break. We use our shield of faith to quench Satan's fiery darts of doubt. But you've learned you can't guide your own way by your own counsel. So in childlike confidence, you go back to the spot where you got saved and your spiritual life began, and then you hear the words of our text this morning, "He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry." And the same grace that God gave you when you got saved, God is gracious to give again to help you go through what you're facing this morning. Aren't you glad? Aren't you? He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. You now know no trial happens to you, but such as is common to man, and that with every temptation you face comes a way to escape it, because God is faithful. This text is also encouraging. I know this is simple, but this text is so encouraging because God said it. God said it. God speaking here. I can put my finger on the word right there where it says, "He will be very gracious unto thee." I love this statement. I hold in my hands the only book God ever wrote. I have God's word on it. I don't have somebody else's word on it. God said when He hears me cry, He'll be very gracious unto me. God gives and supplies His needy creatures. God is merciful to His sinful creatures. Our God is gracious and merciful. Listen closely. How do you say it? You say, "I've got His word on it." Are you sure? Listen. Romans 8:32 says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" God said, I died for you. What else would I not do for you? What a God. I gave my only Son in your place. What do you mean you won't pray to me? What do you mean you won't talk to me? I'll give you just ask. What a God. I died in your place. I'll give you everything else. Now that you know this, then I can tell you this morning, Christian, trust Him to help you. Trust Him, listen, trust Him to forgive you. Our text doesn't say He will be gracious unto thee. It says He will be very gracious unto thee. Aren't you glad? Very gracious. It says, if you need help this morning, if you're needing help, He will be very gracious unto thee. If you're needing comfort this morning, He'll be very gracious unto thee. If you need a lot of forgiveness because you've sinned a lot, He will be very gracious unto thee. Our God is very gracious and our God is very merciful. Aren't you glad? Amen. Isaiah 30:19 says, He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. This verse also encourages trust and it encourages prayer. Isn't it amazing? I think this is, as you read this, if you just focused on the verse, isn't it amazing that God allows prayer? He can do anything He wants, but He still allows us to ask. You want to know what's more amazing than God allowing prayer? The fact we don't pray.
Well, God doesn't answer prayer.
No, you think that because you don't pray. When was the last time you asked Him something? The word pray doesn't mean to thank Him. You can thank God and never pray. The word pray means to ask. It doesn't mean to confess. You can confess your sins to God and still never pray. When was the last time you said, Daddy, I need this. Daddy, could you please do this? When was the last time you asked God for something and He gave it to you?
Well, God doesn't answer prayer.
Every Christian I've heard say that, when you finally nail it down, when was the last time you prayed?
Well,
so the problem isn't God. The problem's us, right? The problem's us. Our God is faithful. God set up the mercy seat, and He sprinkled it with blood because He intended for us to come to Him and the throne of grace and pray. Then the Lord gives us, after He set up the mercy seat and sprinkled it with blood, He gives us the Holy Spirit after we're saved to help our infirmities because we don't know how we should pray. And then it delights our Lord here when we cry unto Him. God tells us later in the book of Isaiah, what a verse, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear." What a verse. That's Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24. Before they call, I will answer. God says, I know what you're getting ready to ask. Just ask Me. Ask Me. Pray. This morning, as I plead for the Lord this morning to encourage you to trust Him, as I plead for the Lord for you to pray, I feel so inadequate. I'll be 50 this year and I've been saved 29 years. Got saved June 7, 1986. God's favor has given me a very happy life. I stand before you a blessed man this morning. God's been good. My life's not been free of trials and hurts and pains, and it's not been an easy road, but it's been a happy road, and I've been blessed. I can just tell you that this morning. Through it all, I can tell you that I've learned that any confidence in man is foolishness. I am more sure this morning that confidence and faith in God is always wise, and it never leads me to disappointment or regret. Well, I know my biggest regret this morning? That I didn't trust Him more. Because He's never failed me. He's never hurt me. And in the worries, and sometimes my wife will say, Hun, you know, you're going to get an ulcer. And I thought, boy, wouldn't that be a horrible testimony? Preacher with an ulcer. Amen. Where'd you get the ulcer from? Worrying. Well, why don't you give it to the Lord? And I'll say, you're right. I need to trust Him more. So this morning, my biggest regret isn't the Lord. My biggest regret is me, that I've not trusted Him. Because when you read that verse, He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When He shall hear it, He will answer thee. He's just waiting for you to ask. He's just waiting for you to pray. What a verse this morning. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, and my heart, it overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When He shall hear it, He will answer thee. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much.